Morning, everyone. Everyone hear me all right? All right. You just have to bear with me a second. I'm wearing many hats today. Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, videos are great, but they're not as good as the band, are they? Okay, so good morning. Colin made the potentially disastrous decision of asking us to do today's preach while the eldership are away at New Wine. Right. So, now, since becoming Christians, we've learned that God does not want us to stay in our comfort zone. He doesn't want us to stay in what we know. So, to say that this puts me out of my comfort zone is a big understatement. If I'm here, and my comfort zone's here, standing up here is on Borough Road, heading that way. So, yeah, it's difficult. But if I'd said no to Colin, if I'd given him a list of excuses like, sorry, Cole, it's too much, I wouldn't be able to cope. I would just stutter and stammer, ramble on, and I'd just keep repeating myself. Or I need to do the sound, or there are many people who are much more suited to being up here. If I'd said any of that, despite it all being potentially true, I'd be denying myself the opportunity to grow. If we had said no when we first asked to be life group leaders, we would not have had the opportunity to grow and to help others grow. The same could be said for many other decisions that we have made and been asked to do since coming to Christ. Do we say no and stay in our nice, comfortable routines, happy and contented with where we are? Or do we say yes, push ourselves to where we may not be comfortable? We may make mistakes, but where we may grow. Now, I need to explain something here. I'm not saying you should say yes to everything. If you put too much on your plate, even with all the will in the world, it's not going to work. We need to ask God for wisdom and guidance on what we can manage. Never push yourself so hard that it hinders your relationship with Christ. With that in mind, being pushed out of our comfort zone is heavily linked to what I would like to talk to you about today, fellowship. When Colin asked what we were going to preach on, we were at a loss. We had done our testimonies 2-3 New Wines ago, so doing that again would be treading old ground that most of you had already heard, and certainly wouldn't help us progress and grow. Again, back to not staying in our comfort zone. As fairly new Christians, what could we possibly preach on? Today has been in the back of my mind for a while, but nothing. No word, no inspiration, no idea. I was getting a little concerned until Colin suggested doing it on fellowship, and it rang true. Now, as you can see, we have the tables out with drinks at the back, which today are provided free. We wanted to do something a little different, a bit more relaxed, but something a little more practical when it comes to fellowship. It allows for a bit more interaction with others than just to the person to your left or right. Fellowship was a big part of our testimony, and certainly a big part of what led us to becoming Christians. So although a chunk of what I'm going to talk about includes parts of our testimony, I just wanted to tell you so that you have some context on where I'm coming from in regards to fellowship. Part of our testimony was the fact that for most of our married life, we had been isolated from any meaningful adult contact. We had no one that we could really call friends. We had known work colleagues. We had known parents of friends of our children. But these people were barely beyond acquaintances, people that we knew a little bit about, but limited to hi in passing or talking about work or the kids when you were stood in the playground. Nothing personal. No indications of who you really were or who they really were. As for family, that was even worse. We moved to the Wirral for help and support from my family. We were going through a bad time and had been offered the help. Looking back now, perhaps that offer of help was like when you pass someone in the street that you haven't seen for a long time and they say something like, oh, good to see you. Must catch up. I've got to go. When in fact they are too busy and aren't really interested in catching up at all, certainly not wanting to catch up right now. So the help quickly dwindled. Social offerings, being invited to partings or gatherings or just round for coffee, started to feel more and more forced. It was clear that we just weren't wanted there. it became more and more apparent that my family only really offered anything because we were family. They felt obligated to. So we stopped accepting the invites, and probably with much relief to them, they quickly stopped offering them. And once the charade had ended, they felt no need to continue with anything, even simple contact. So we became even more isolated. We had moved away from what little we did have to somewhere where we had even less. We ended up with no real adult contact at all, apart from each other and our children. We were stuck in a bubble with too much time to think about it. As some of you may know, being stuck in this bubble can cause a lot of problems. Depression, anxiety, loneliness, and paranoia. These negative emotions all appear and take over when you're in that bubble. You start to think that maybe it's you. You did something, or you are a certain way that just makes people, even your own family, avoid you like the plague. After all, everyone else is happy and has friends and has an amazing supportive family, don't they? You know, the grass is always greener. In the end, God had something to say to us about that, and here we are now. Some interesting statistics for you. There are 66 million adults in Britain today. The Office for National Statistics states that 5% of adults always feel lonely. That is just under 3.5 million people. A further 16% feel lonely most of the time. That is another 10.5 million people. That is over 14 million people in the UK who feel lonely most of the time or worse. Esther and I have been there. It's horrible. You feel worthless and unwanted. You feel ashamed and unloved. You feel like life has kicked you down as far as you can go. There's no way out. Then something else stomps on you while you're down. You feel like it's not worth carrying on. You start despising yourself, falling into a never-ending spiral of self-pity. You feel like maybe everyone would be better off if you weren't here anymore. Who would really miss me? When we were at that point, God stepped in and said, enough. And we just sang the song 10,000 Reasons with the lyrics, 10,000 Reasons for My Heart to Find. Well, for us, it always reminds me of how we came to Christ. For us, the lyrics would be 10,000 chickens for my heart to find. Because that's what it cost. The lives of 10,000 chickens in a motorway accident and the series of events that followed that put Maria in our path on our lowest day. If it wasn't for that, we would never have met Maria. A series of events that could only be from God, that brought us to him when we needed him the most. Now, God doesn't want us to be lonely. He doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with him and each other. We could just have easily said, no thank you, to Maria. I don't like to think of where we'd be now if we had. We stepped out of our comfort zone, a leap of faith, so to speak, and we have gained so much because of it. What drew us in? The fellowship. What kept us in? God. We were not preached to like disobedient children or told we were filthy sinners and should repent. That would have just pushed us back out the door, making us feel even worse than when we walked in. No, we were spoken to with respect and love. And through that love, we came to know the Lord. Now, I am naturally an introvert. I like talking to people, but with people I know. I find it very hard to make friends or do anything socially. Also, I was bitter and angry about my experiences with so-called friends and family so far in my life. I was reluctant to meet new people who would just throw us away when they got tired of us. Never again wanting to be that person, the person that people felt obligated to talk to or include. Fearful of that feeling of rejection that always followed. After all, no one was really interested in being friends. They hadn't before, so why now? Now, Esther is the complete opposite to me. She is a social person. She is at her best when she is with people. She loves to talk to people, spend time with people, getting to know them. Being alone and isolated affected us both quite badly, but it was certainly more affecting on her. She very quickly embraced the fellowship at King's. She needed the adult company beyond me and the kids. I was really happy that she had found something, but I was still angry at the world that she had been shunned from. I felt I had done something to drive everyone away. I worried I would do something or say something that would cause us to be shunned again. So I was very cautious when I finally came to church. But the love and understanding that everyone gave to us, the amazing people we have met and continue to meet here, the friendships we have made, the social experiences we have had since coming to King's has been like nothing we ever had before. In fact, we did more things socially. We met more people. We engaged in more things in our first year at King's than we did the previous 15 years combined. We were shown the love, acceptance, and respect through fellowship. Psalm 68:6, God places the lonely into families. And he did. He placed us into the family at King's. I used to be a firm believer in the saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Well, family is not always about blood. We did choose our family here. So in our nation, we have nearly 22% of adults who feel lonely most of the time or worse. That is over 1 in 5. Now, statistically speaking, that means there are potentially 10 people in this room who would say, although perhaps not openly, that they feel lonely most of the time or worse. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always with us, of course, so we are never truly lonely. But when you reach the point that we were at, it may feel like you are truly alone. God doesn't say we should praise, worship, or spend time with him always alone. Don't get me wrong, alone time with God is very important in having that intimate relationship with him. But humans are social creatures. We need other human interaction. From the beginning, God wanted us to be a team. Genesis 2:18, then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." God's desire for us has always been for us to need more than himself. He didn't create us to be solitary. God made everyone to exist in the context of a relationship with other people, even if you are naturally an introverted person like I was. It is in relationships that we experience the love and grace of God. Being blessed by others and in turn be a blessing to others. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. God's ultimate purpose and goal for us is to thrive in relationships. Our primary goal is always to grow in a relentless pursuit of a growing relationship with him. And then, as an overflow of his goodness to us, pour out our lives to other people and be a blessing to them. We didn't have that before. It's not God's will for anyone to be lonely. We are meant to be together because we are better together. Back to Psalm 68:6 about putting the lonely into families. It is to continue his plan for us. The church is the fulfillment of God's plan for us to be part of a family. Time together in fellowship is so important, whether it be during worship, praying, breakfast, coffee, or any of the activities that you can do here with others. It is so worth it. It may mean leaving your comfort zone. It may mean leaving your comfort zone so you can help others leave their comfort zone. As Christians, we have a command to love and help others. John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. John 15:17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. We may not ever need to lay down our life for our friends, but we should be prepared to leave our comfort zone to love and help others who may be struggling, people who need that fellowship, even perhaps people among us. 15 million people is a huge number of people who need help. I don't doubt that there are some here that feel lonely. There may be some here that may not have any meaningful adult contact from today until next Sunday. I know of people who come to King's and sometimes don't get to speak to anyone because they're just too busy. Move my spot. Okay. So, hands up anyone who can honestly say that when they have got their after-service coffee or tea, that they go and talk to someone new or someone that they have only said hello to. Even if you've known their name and have been coming to King's for years. I will be honest and say I don't. My hand isn't up. I am an introvert by nature. Approaching someone who I do not know and saying, "Hi, I'm Paul, how are you?" That puts me as much out of my comfort zone as being up here does. But with the Holy Spirit, it is something I can change within me. Preparing for today, I've realized it is something that I must change. It requires me to leave my comfort zone again, but the possible benefits are incalculable. Also, the more I do it, the more my comfort zone expands, so that what was outside my comfort zone before slowly becomes part of it. God helps us to grow by pushing us out of our comfort zone so we in turn can help others grow. Oh, don't like these tops. I need to get over my problems and go and speak to the person over there who is sat on their own. It might help with their problems. I have learned that you will make mistakes. I still make big mistakes, especially when I am outside of my comfort zone, but I do my best to learn from them. Something a few years ago I wouldn't have done, certainly not before coming to King's. I've talked a lot about comfort zones. Before coming to King's, my comfort zone was very small. It was difficult to get me to even approach the edge. But since then, I've found myself finding it easier and easier to not only push toward the edge, but break through and keep going, without fear, sometimes even without hesitation. And when Colin asked me to preach today, it wasn't a, "Oh, I need to think about it." It was just a, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to, be honored to." But I wouldn't have done that before. I've not been able to do it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has changed me as he can change all of us. But this is something we must consent and submit to. It is not something forced upon us. The gifts of the Spirit allow us to do things outside of what we can do naturally. Being stood up here is certainly not natural for me. I wouldn't be here if not for the Holy Spirit's guidance and gifts, giving me the confidence and the ability to face challenges that push me. It would not be possible without him. So, fellowship and pushing that comfort zone. I don't have much more to say, but I will, to finish, I'm going to try and help you all leave your comfort zone just a little bit. I would like to ask Julie up the front to tell you how small part of a small push out of her comfort zone changed things for her. And while she comes up, I would like to say a big thank you to all our life group. Through fellowship, we all played a part to make today what it is. And a big thank you to Barbara as well for helping. I have a newfound respect in how long a Sunday takes to organize and prepare. I haven't finished just yet. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, I'm up here because I... 10 years ago, I went to a church in Warrington. I'm from Warrington, and I went to a church there. And I'd sat for 3 years in the same seat, and the Glebe family sat over there, the Smiths sat over there, and we all knew where we were going to sit. And one morning when we went in, we got the welcome team issued us with a raffle ticket. And when you went to your seat, you had to look round. It was quite hilarious, everybody looking round. It was set up like we're normally set up, and you had to sit where your raffle ticket was. And I ended up sitting next to a lady called Barbara, who'd been part of that church for 10 years, but I'd only ever spoken to like a handful of people from sort of the over 60s group. And I ended up making friends with her. She started taking me to evening service in her car. And then when I was away, I was in rehab for 6 years. When I was away, her car used to write letters to me. And she kept in contact with me, and she's still in contact with me to this day. In fact, I spoke to her on Friday, and we're still in contact. And that was 10 years ago, just by getting out of my comfort zone and sitting in a different seat. Thanks.
Now, if something simple like that made such a profound impact on at least two people, imagine what an impact you can make on just chatting with someone you haven't spoken to before. With that challenge in mind, what I would like for you to do, for those who can move, I would like you to go and grab a drink and a cake, they're free, and then come back and sit next to someone who you either haven't spoken to before, haven't said more than hello to before, or haven't spoken to in a long time. Then, until 12, we're just going to have a bit of fellowship time together. We don't know the impact we could have on someone's day. That small interaction can make a big difference to someone who may not be in a great place mentally or spiritually. Having that interaction may also make a huge difference in our day. We just don't know it yet. One small interaction between a member of our church who was led by the Holy Spirit and us changed our lives. God was alone, always with us, and he did not want us to be without him or alone. God places the lonely into families. And the only thing it costs is for us to be a little out of our comfort zone for a few minutes. In the Spirit, we are capable of leaving that comfort zone. If we try and do it without his guidance, it often just ends up going badly. We can only do it with him. That is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in our weakness. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us his strength, to break through our comfort zones and strengthen our resolve into fellowship. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all our family in Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to have fellowship today and to give us an ever-deepening love for each other and for you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill us, gift us the abilities and courage to step out of our comfort zone and use us to show through us the love of Jesus to those who are lost. Father, we pray that you would unite us in godly love and Christian fellowship. We pray for those here who just need to make that leap of faith into your family. May they know the love and acceptance that we felt when we came. We pray for those not here today, for those at New Wine, and we pray for them to be blessed spiritually with sunshine and good weather. May today's fellowship be for your glory, Father. Amen. Thank you for listening. So please go and help yourself to a free cake and drink, then push the... So difficult. Then push that comfort zone and have a chat with someone that you might not have had a chat before. Can I also remind and ask those with children that they need to be picked up at 12 so that the children's workers can come and have a bit of fellowship time as well. There are some drinks and cakes for the kids as well. Thank you.